Take your Bibles this morning. Please turn with the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 4 this morning. Jonah chapter 4. I want us to look at a thought this morning of running against God. Running against God. Now, as you would study and as you know, most of us know the life of Jonah. We know if we go back to the very beginning of chapter 1, Jonah ran away from God. Chapter 2, Jonah ran back to God. Chapter 3, Jonah ran for God. Now in chapter 4, Jonah runs against God. As I look at Jonah's life, I tend to see our own lives. I tend to see the cycle, the circle that many go through in their lives. There is a time in our lives we're running from God. God gets a hold of us. God saves us. Then we run back to God. We start serving God. We start doing what God wants us to do. But then over a course of time, we serve God as we should. We're running for God. But over a course of time, what do? We start to run against God in our lives. We're going to look at the life of Jonah in chapter 4 here. Again, this is a very familiar portion. We know what took place in Nineveh. We know what God did. But we are going to look at Jonah's response to what took place. And we see that Jonah starts to run against God. This is a person that was running for God at one point, now running against God. And as we look at this, we're going to look at some of the information here. Then at the end, we're going to bring it to the conclusion and make some application into our hearts, into our lives, and challenge us not to run against God, but to run for God. If you're able to, please stand with me. Jonah chapter number 4. Starting in verse number 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying, when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and a merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city, and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a venomous east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it's better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest grow, which came up in a night.
And should I spare Nineveh,
that great city
wherein are more than
60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, we ask as we look at your word this morning, you would help us to see the truths we need to glean and apply to our hearts and to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want us to first see Jonah's fight. As we see him running against God, I want us to see Jonah's fight. I want us to also understand something this morning. Jonah was fighting God. God was not fighting Jonah. There's a difference there. And I want us to understand this as we look at this. And we're going to see that Jonah was displeased with God. This is not on God. Many times in our lives, we say we're running against God or we're having struggles in our Christian life, and it's God's fault. You say, well, preacher, I would never blame God. Yes, we do. We blame God for the reason we're not living for God. Many times in our lives, we say, well, if God would just give me what I want, if God would give me my desires, if God would help me out here, if God would supply this for me, then I'll live for God. No, Jonah was fighting God. God was not fighting Jonah. When you and I are not living right, when you and I are not going the direction God wants us to do, it's on us. It's not on God. God wants you to live for Him. God wants you to serve Him. God is there to say, my child, I'm there to pick you up. I'm there to get you going. I'm there to get you serving me and living for me. I'm there for you. We're the ones that say, God, I don't want you right now. God, I'm going to do my own thing right now. God, I'm not happy with the way you're handling things, and so I'm going to take the matter in my own hands. Jonah was fighting God. Look with me again in verse number 1. I want you to see his displeasure. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now, the Bible says that when people get saved, there should be rejoicing. The Bible says when your kids want to live for God, you ought to jump up and shout and be excited. The Bible says when you see a nation, you see a country, you see individuals have revival, you see a church have revival, it ought to bring excitement to your soul. You ought to be happy about what is taking place and what is happening. When you hear about individuals that got saved through camp, you ought to shout and rejoice. When you hear about individuals that were living for the world, but God got a hold of their heart, brought them back to them, you ought to shout and rejoice and be glad for it. We know what took place. And we're going to see even Jonah, what he even says about the Lord. Jonah knew what happened in the city of Nineveh. Jonah was the reason God used, a tool God used to bring Nineveh back to that. But Jonah should have been rejoicing. But what did Jonah do? He was fighting against God. He was displeased and angry that Nineveh got right with God. I tell you, I look at it and go, how could someone get to that place? How could someone get to the place God used them and they saw people change? They saw a whole country, a whole nation get right with God. They saw the city of Nineveh repent. They saw all this take place, yet he got angry. Have you ever got angry at your spouse? Because your spouse comes home and says, honey, we're not doing things right. We need to get right with God. You know, we're not doing our family the right way. Do you know there's things in our home, honey, that we need to change, we need to start doing? We need to start being more faithful. We need to start doing this. We need to start giving. We need to start serving. We need to start doing this. And have you ever got angry? Who are you to tell me what to do? Who are you to tell me I'm not spiritual? Who are you to tell me? Now we ought to rejoice when one of our spouses, this is even the harder part. What happens when your kids get on fire for God? And your kids come home. And yes, kids, you better do this with respect. But they come home and say, Mom, you're not talking right. God convicted me, Mom, of my speech. But Mom, your speech isn't what it ought to be. Oh, Dad, God convicted me of my temper. But Dad, look at your temper. I tell you, how many love when your kids tell you you're wrong? How many? Raise your hand. I know we all love that, don't we? But as Jonah should have been rejoicing, Jonah was angry for what God was doing. It displeased him. That means it stirred him to the point of sickness. It got him to the place that he just was beside himself, that he could not control it. He was in that state of just being so upset with what's happening. How many have met a person that you thought they were just uncontrollable because they got so upset about something? Now, this afternoon, we are doing the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to be looking at blessed are those that mourn. And we're going to look at that word mourning and look about how they handled mourning in that time. And I tell you, it hits a little bit today, and I don't want to spend much on it this morning because we're going to hit it this afternoon. But this whole idea of getting to a place that you're uncontrollable. Have you ever met a person that's uncontrollable when they're mourning over something, or they're at that place of they can't handle what is happening and they're so upset about something? How many of you ever saw a kid in a store that needed some discipline and you wish they were your kid so you could take care of it? And you saw what was happening in the store. Now, do this in love, I understand. But you see that. And I mean, tell you, they just pitched the fit, right? How many of you ever thrown yourself on the floor? Steve, did you when you were a kid? I could see little Stevie throwing himself on the floor and knocking the shelves down. Rich, you a little move earlier, I could see you flopping on the floor a little bit too. That's when he got beat. But they're uncontrollable. And they're screaming. And they're all this that is happening. This is the idea of where Jonah's at. Jonah wasn't just like, I can't believe God saved them. I don't know why God didn't do it. He was mad about it. He was upset about it. He was furious about it. He was angry. Now look a little pert. We see his displeasure. But what is his complaint? Now I tell you, how can someone complain about the things he's complaining about? How can we get to the place that we complain? Jonah's fighting against God. He's displeased with what God has done. But now he is even displeased or complaining about the character of God and who God is. Look at verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying, when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew. Now look at this. For I knew that thou art a gracious God. God, I'm mad at you. I'm upset with you. Because what you did in Nineveh, and Lord, I knew this was going to happen. This is why I was going to live for you. This is why I was going to go on the other ship. This is why I was not going to go to Nineveh. I was going to go to Tarshish. But God, I knew this. Now, isn't it interesting something? He went on Tarshish. God got a hold of him. We know the story of being thrown overboard. We know the cast of lots. We know he was in the belly of the great fish. We know that God caused that great fish to spew him out. We know that he prayed and repented of it. But sometimes I wonder how much repentance actually takes place sometimes in our lives. Because now, what does he say? He was serving God, but he goes back to that. He goes back to the place he was at before. What does he say? God, this is why I was not going to do what you wanted me to do. Because you're a gracious God. We complain about God because of his grace. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad God has shown grace to me. Because if it wasn't for God's grace, where would you and I be this morning? God has showed you grace not just in regards to salvation, but God has showed us grace each and every day of our lives, and his grace is sufficient, and his grace is there, and I'm glad we serve a gracious God. Now, what is interesting is, I believe Jonah was glad God showed him grace, but he was not happy that God showed Nineveh grace. And you say, well, why would someone be in a mindset like that? Is that not the same in our lives? We're going to bring this to more conclusion at the end of this. But isn't that more in our mindset sometimes? We look and we say, well, God, you can show me all the grace you want me to show me. But God, not my wicked spouse. Don't show them any grace. God, strike them down with lightning. She burned my dinner today, Lord. You know, you got to deal with her. You know what? She knows I can't eat certain stuff and she cooked it anyways. And she knows I don't like this and that. Lord, just deal with her. Now, we're glad when God shows us grace. Jonah was glad when God showed him grace. But we get a different mindset and we complain about when God does things in other people's lives. Do you know why we get that way? Because we're very selfish individuals. We look at ourselves. Jonah was not concerned about Nineveh. Jonah was concerned about Jonah. We are living in a day and age where many individuals are so concerned about me. They're not concerned about anyone else. They're not concerned about this lost and dying world. They're not concerned about what is happening. They're not concerned about, all they're concerned is about themselves, about what they want and those things. This is why he was fighting God, because Jonah didn't get his way. He threw his fit because he didn't get his way. Now, I tell you, some of us need to always look at ourselves, what I'm about to say. But most of us have sometime in our life has thrown a fit about not getting away. Anyone ever here not thrown a fit because you didn't get your way? Anyone? Oh, good. So I'm not talking just to myself. All right. But we throw a fit because we don't get our way. How many of you been in a restaurant before and they messed something up and it wasn't the way you wanted it done? And how many, you always have that beautiful smile and you say, "Excuse me, ma'am, sir. Is there any possible way that you can make a correction to this? This item was not the way it ought to be. Please find it somehow to take care of this, and I'll be so ever pleasant and grateful for what you do." How many act that way? Yeah. Lying lips are an abomination. Rick? Yeah. But we see, he was upset at God's grace. But I want you to look at another thing, what he's upset about. He complains about. "Thou art gracious, God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness." God, your grace, show grace. You show mercy. You show kindness. You show long-suffering. And I can't believe, God, you did that. That's what he's saying. Well, aren't you glad God's shown you grace, God's shown you mercy, God's shown you long-suffering, God's shown you kindness? But Jonah's saying, "God, I can't believe, God, I can't believe you would do this to these people." But you know why he was thinking that? Because in his mind, the people didn't deserve it. The people are wicked, vile people. If you study out the city of Nineveh, we don't have time to get into this. But if you study it out, this was not just a nation. This was not just a city. This was not just a place that the people were a little wicked, all right? There was great wickedness, great immorality going thing. This was a very pagan place. They didn't deserve God's kindness, God's mercy, God's long-suffering. They deserved, in his mind, God's punishment upon them, and he wanted God to zap them dead and deal with them. And this is why he was complaining. I tell you, there's some times in my life that I just look at our world that we're living in. And sometimes I just wonder, God, why don't you just zap them? God, why don't you just take care of them? I tell you, some of those people in certain offices, Lord, in righteous anger, Lord, because we got to spiritualize everything, right? Lord, just get them out. Knock them down. Get rid of them. Lord, those so-called Hollywood actors, deal with them. Zap them. If they want to be this pagan and this God, they don't deserve to even live. But then I stop for a moment. And then I have to look at myself. And I stop and I look and I examine. And I see how wicked I am. Oh, I might not be as verbal as they are. I might not be in the limelight where everyone sees everything and how I'm acting, how I'm doing, but I'm a human being a sinful human being, and every human being that's ever walked the face of this earth is a sinner in need of a Savior. And as I look at myself, I see my wickedness. But the problem is I'm focused on everyone else and think God shouldn't show them, but I'm glad God has shown me the loving kindness. I'm so glad God showed me the mercy. I'm so glad God showed me his long suffering. But Jonah was fighting against God. He was displeased. He complained. But look at verse 3. He was so angry. He was so upset what God is doing. And he can't believe God would show grace and mercy and all that to them. But look at verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech you, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Now that is one of the most dumb statements that anyone could ever make in their lives. Let's just be honest. Lord, because I didn't get my way. Lord, because you allow them to turn and get right with God, just take my life. You know what that shows of a heart of an individual? It shows how wicked that heart of that individual is. Again, we should be rejoicing, we should be excited, we should be glad for what God did. But he was mad. He was stomping his feet. He was throwing his fit. And he says, God, just take my life then. God, if you wanted to save them, then God, just take me. Does that make sense to anybody? But we see it in a different light in our lives today. God, I can't believe you allow that person to be blessed. Lord, I can't believe you allow that person to have success. I can't believe this is happening in that person's life, but look at my life. Lord, I can't believe this. So Lord, I'm done. Just take me home, Lord. Just take me to glory. I'm done. If I'm not going to get everything I want, I'm not going to have my way, if I'm not going to have the success that I think I need, Lord, just take me. Lord, I don't want to even live anymore. How many believers have started strong running from God? And then they're not even in church, not even serving God, because they come to the place and say, you know what, I'm done. That's what Jonah said, I'm done. Take me, Lord, I'm done. I don't want this. I'm done, Lord. I try to live for you. I try to serve you. But Lord, these people that are wicked are even more blessed than me. Lord, I'm done. Jonah was fighting against God. Many believers today fight against God. Look at verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. Jonah's watching to see if God will change his mind and destroy Nineveh. Jonah's sitting back watching the city, says, all right, I just gave my complaint to God. God knows I'm displeased. So hopefully God's going to change his mind and line up with me and destroy the city. I'm going to watch and see what happens. Wait a second. God doesn't need to change his mind to line up with us. We need to change our mind to line up with God. Jonah needed to get right with God and realize what God did is what was needed, and he ought to get to the place of rejoicing. But what did Jonah say? God, here's my response. Here's my complaint. Here's my murmuring against this. Here's all that I'm displeased with. So God, change your mind, and God, do what I want to do. God, I'm going to give you time. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to watch the city. But God, now, strike them dead. Why do we think God has to line up with us? I believe many times in our lives we think God has to line up with us. And we have it all wrong. I don't have to. It's not for God to come down to my level and do what I want. It is me getting right with God and coming up to his level and fulfilling his will. Not only do we see his fight here, we see God's response. Look at verse number 4. We see God's response. In verse 5 through verse 9, so Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come upon over Jonah. that it might be a shadow of his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. So what takes place here? God provides him something. God gives him something. God gives him the gourd. What happens though? The worm comes. The gourd is gone. God asks him a question twice here. He says, do you think it's right that you're angry? Do you think it's right that you're displeased? Do you think it's right that you're upset for what is happening? Do you think it's right for what is done? Look at verse 4. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? That is a question that needs to be asked in our lives. Do you notice something in our day and age? People are angry. Does it do you well to be angry? I tell you, you look around and you see what is happening in our country today. And you see people that are just ready to pop. They're ready to explode. They're angry. They're upset. There are people that all over our nation that are so-called standing for certain things, but they're angry. Does it do us you well to be angry? Jonah was asked, does it do us thou well to be angry? I tell you, we got to stand, but we got to stand in truth and love. We got to have the right spirit about us when we handle things, when we do things. But it does not do us well to be angry. You might not like something in your home, and you need to take a stand in your home, and you need to say, we're going to get back to God and live for God. But it doesn't do you well to be angry or to be bitter at an individual in your home. It doesn't do us well to be angry or bitter within the walls of this church. It doesn't do us well. And he is challenging Jonah and says, does it do you well to be angry? And then look a little further. Verse 7, but God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise that God prepared a venomous east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted and wished himself to die and said, it's better for me to die to live. Second time, Lord, it's better for me to die. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared that east wind. And in verse 9, and God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Does that not show Jonah's attitude once again? Lord, you gave me the gourd. Lord, you took it away. Jonah, does it do you well? Yes, it does me well to be angry. It does me well to be mad. Even unto death, I'm going to stand upon this. Even unto death, I'm going to be angry. What does that show about the attitude and the spirit of Jonah? I tell you, there are many angry and bitter people in our world today that say, yes, it does me well. That's okay. Some of you know some individuals that it breaks your heart because you've tried to witness to them, you've tried to talk to them, you've tried to do, and they're just angry. They don't want to heed, they don't want to hear, they don't want to listen. And you say, hey, it's not good to be in this state. I don't care. I'm happy in the state I'm in. There are many believers today that have had something happen in their lives. They blame God for it. They've had something take place in their life, and they haven't dealt with it. They haven't gotten God's forgiveness over it. They haven't handled the situation as they should. And they've gotten angry. And they're angry at God. They shake their fist at God. They shake their fist at the things of God. They don't want to even talk about religious things anymore. They don't want to talk about the things of God. They want to be in church. They want to be those. And they're just angry and they're bitter at God. And you confront them and you say, hey, you know this is not the spirit you should have. You know this is not how you ought to be living. And they get mad at you and they tell you to leave the room. They tell you to get out of their house. They tell you to go away. Why? Because they say they're in their right to be angry because you don't understand what's happened to them. And that's the place Jonah was at in his life. Wait, this was a man that was running for God. This was a man that God used. This is the man that God got a hold of at one time. This is the man that repented of his sins and got on track for God. But now he's to the place that he's justifying his heart. You know, we're running against God. We're fighting against God. When we're displeased with God, when we're complaining about what God's doing. And God's response is, hey, you need to look inside. You need to see, does it do you well? And you know you're running from God when you think you're right with God, when you're not right with God. We're in a bad state when we think we're right with God, when we're not right with God. There are so many believers today that have professed the Lord Jesus Christ. They put their faith and their trust in Him. They went to Jesus and they say He's the way, the truth, and the life. They've gone to Him and they all that. But because of something, they've gotten hard against God. Because of something, they've turned. And when they're confronted, they're angry about God. And they have not gotten their heart right with God. But they'll say, oh, I'm fine. I'm still saved. I'm still this. I'm still that. No, the problem is this. You can, if your heart's not right, you can't be right with God. Now, I understand no man can pluck you out of the hand of God. I understand. But we have gotten to a place where we don't even recognize that we're not right with God. There are so many who think they're fine. I still go to church. I still even read my Bible once in a while. But let me tell you, if we have a heart of anger and bitterness, God says we're to put off those things. And there's certain things we need to put on. And if I have not put off those things and put on what I'm supposed to put on, I'm not right with God. I can go through the motions. I can go through all the things. Jonah, at this point of his life, was not right with God. I believe if you could ask Jonah, just because of his response here when God asked him, does it do you well to be angry? I bet Jonah would have said, yes, I'm right with God. Yes, I'm okay. Yes, you don't understand. You weren't in the city. You didn't see the people. You don't know how they treated. You don't know the things. It's okay. I'm okay where I'm at. But Jonah was not okay where he's at. Preacher, you don't know about my childhood. Preacher, you don't know about my husband, my wife. Preacher, you don't know about my kids. Preacher, you don't know about this event that took place in my life. You don't know how I was abused and beaten. You don't know how this activity happened to me as a child. You don't know how this has happened, that's happened. And we become bitter. And God, I can't believe that God would ever save that individual that did this to me. And there's no way. I can't believe God is gracious in that. And you become angry at those things. That's where Jonah was at. But I want you to see, Jonah fought God's response. But I want us to see what God does to try to stir the heart of Jonah. Look with me. Verse 10, verse 11. Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither made as it grow, which came up in a night, and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between the right hand and the left hand, and also much cattle? You know what God did? He explained something. He says, Jonah, you care more about a gourd that was there for a day and gone than you cared about all those people. God said, why should I have compassion on Nineveh? Well, it has many people and much cattle. Jonah, you cared about a gourd that was there and gone than all those people in the city of Nineveh. Jonah, there's something wrong with you. Jonah, you need to wake up. You need to be stirred. You need to get a focus where that focus ought to be. I believe sometimes we need a wake-up call. We need a stirring. God said, Jonah, where's your compassion for these people? You have compassion for a gourd, but you don't have compassion for a soul. Look around us today. In this world, and among believers today, we are so focused on things that really don't matter today. And yet we don't have compassion for what does matter. You see, the world is wicked, but Jesus can still save. There is so much happening in this world that I do not like. There are so many things that happen every day that I sit back and I cannot believe that we even live in America, to be honest. I sit back and I see all this, but let me tell you, and please don't take this the wrong way this morning. I believe we need a stand. I need to believe we need to go against certain things at certain times and do it in the right way, the right attitude. I believe there's times for protesting. I believe there's time for all that. But let me tell you, we have gotten so focused in our day and age of rising against and protesting about this and protesting about this and that. But let me ask you, when's the last time we talk about to the unsaved all the time about this being happening, and I know we need to stand for it. We talk about this being done, and we talk about masks, and we talk about all these things, and yes, it's upon all our hearts. I understand that. We talk about all this, but when's the last time that the same person that you talked about a mask about to, or you talked about this being done and that happening, did you take the gospel and share the gospel with them? Because let me tell you, what's going to change this world is not if we wear a mask or don't wear a mask. What's going to change this world is Jesus Christ. He is the answer, the only answer that's going to change this world. And this world is wicked, but we got to have compassion. And we got to look around us. And we got to come to the place that we start sharing, caring, praying, and living. We got to get to the place that we don't just see a wicked Nineveh, but we see a world that God can change. And we ought to be upon our knees praying, asking God to use us to change this world. Asking God to give us a compassion. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was moved with compassion when he saw those that were wicked and turning and not living for him. And we need to ask God to give us that same compassion in our lives to turn us back so we see the need and what needs to take place. Next week, we're switching our service times. I'll mention that at the end. But I'll have some cards available. And we did these in the beginning of this. And it's you to give to your neighbors. And try to be a blessing to your neighbors. And asking, do they have a need? Do they have a prayer request? But let me tell you, the main purpose is to give us an opportunity to share the gospel. And the main purpose is for us to give the opportunity to share. There are people hurting today. There are people struggling today. And we can debate all the politics we want to debate. But you know what's going to give them the help they need and the hope that they need is Jesus. There's people that are fearful. They're scared. But you know what's going to change them? You know, the only thing that's going to give you hope and me hope is Jesus. The only thing that's going to give them help and hope is Jesus. What we need to do is realize we need to have compassion for those we come in contact with on a regular basis, and we need to share Jesus with them. Let me ask you, why don't we have compassion? Why have we become so angry? Why have we become like Jonah? Why have we not rejoiced when people got saved? Why we come to this place that, you know what, we're so worried about talking about this and this and this that we have not even in the past 6 months shared the gospel once with someone? Why have we gotten to the place that we're that way? Because we're focused on ourselves. I'm just like you. I don't want to be told what to do. I'm a grown-up. I can make my decisions. But I need to understand what people need today is Jesus. I need to have compassion. I need to have a love. I tell you, as I was preparing this, just challenge me as much as I hope it's challenged you this morning. Because I believe it's very easy for all of us to get angry at what is happening today. And to get upset. And to justify it. But it's not going to change anything. You know what's going to make a difference in our politics? Are believers sharing the gospel and individuals in those offices come to true saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they're going to change. You know what's going to make a difference? It's that you and I look and we see people and we weep over their soul. We weep over their soul. We have come a long way where we are stirred and moved with compassion. We know in scriptures, and those have been in Israel, we're at a place where Jesus would have done this. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. And we got to stand above that and we got to look below. And as he was looking at the city of Jerusalem, this is where Jesus wept. Why did Jesus wept? Because he was moved with compassion. Because he saw those that needed him. And you and I have to get to a place that when we look out, that we're moved with compassion. When's the last time a true tear came to your eyes over someone who is lost without Christ? When's the last time that you were stirred because you have a loved one in your family that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior? When's the last time that you were moved with compassion for someone in your home, someone in your family, someone in your workplace, someone, a neighbor of yours, someone you come in contact with that is without Christ? When's the last time we were broken? When's the last time that we took the tracks, we took things and we said, God, I'm going to go and I'm going to share it. I'm going to share the message. Oh God, I'm not going to share the message today. That person's wicked. And God, I know you're gracious. You could save that person. And I don't want that sick person saved. He said, preacher, we would never say that. Oh, we do. We do when we don't want to take the time to share the gospel with them. We say that person isn't worth it. Let me tell you, God died for all. And if you were worth it, that other person's worth it too. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He sent, God sent his son to be the perfect Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish, to be the propitiation for our sins, but not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. We all know people that you don't personally care for, but God can still save them. There is people that you and I do not mesh with, but God can still save them. I understand in the state that we're in right now, we can't do certain things that we've done before, but there's no reason and no excuse that every one of us is not on a daily, regular basis sharing the gospel. There's no reason, no excuse that the track rack is not empty. There's no reason, no excuse that we've gone this past 6 months, almost 7 months now, in the state where, and I understand all the things that happened, I understand some are staying home more, I understand all that's taking place, but let me tell you, there's still been opportunity. Phones still work. We need to have compassion. See, are you running for God? Are you running away from God? Are you running for God this morning? We need to make sure we're running for God, not against God. I believe sometimes in our lives, we get caught up in even good stuff, and we're running against God. Because what is my purpose here on this earth? And I'm going to close. What is my purpose here on earth? To please God and live for God. When anything else, comes before that, that becomes a God in my life. And I'm not to put any other God before Him. There are people today that are so involved in different things, and I'm glad they are, and I'm glad they're doing it, but the scary thing is, they're involved in that, but let me ask, when's the last time they've been in God's Word? When's the last time they've been sharing the gospel? When's the last time they've been involved in the things of God? It's become a God. God has to stay first. When God's first, we can do those other things. But God has to come first. And I got to be faithful to Him. I got to be in His Word. I got to be living for Him. I'm not running against God. I got to be running for God. And I got to have compassion for this lost and dying world. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for this event recorded in Your Word of Jonah. Lord, we thank You for even chapter 4. Lord, we thank You for the comparisons we could see between Jonah and us. Lord, I pray that You would use the questions You even asked Jonah and the explanation that You gave Jonah to stir our hearts this morning. Lord, we do pray if there's one that does not know You as Savior, that today would be their day of salvation. Lord, I pray You help each of us as believers that will run for God, not against God. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed as you stand with me.